Before I begin, I'd like to say, first of all, I hope that each of you have had a good and fruitful week, that God has blessed you abundantly, and that he's used whatever situation you've been in, whether it's if it's been good or if it's been disastrous and horrible, that somehow God was able to receive the glory from it, and that you as an individual will grow and be stronger in Christ Jesus. For our guests who are here, I welcome you, and I hope that your stay will be a fruitful one, and that you'll get a lot from our service today, and I hope that you will enjoy what we have to offer here at this church. Having said that, before I begin my lesson, I want to give you an idea as to how I came about this lesson. And first of all, I want you all to know that this lesson is not geared to any one individual. It's not, I'm not trying to point fingers at you. It's more than anything else. I find from experience, from having been up here, lessons that are more meaningful are the ones that are directed towards you, the person who's giving the lesson. But I hope that you can derive something from it, learn so that you can become better stewards for what God has blessed you with. The topic of my lesson is called, Have You Forgotten Your First Love? And I just thought about this because when you're younger, you start thinking of how you want to accomplish great things in life, how you want to leave your footprints in the sands of time so that your name is remembered from here to eternity. And your goal seems to, at least for me, when I was younger, you want this glory. You want the attention drawn on yourself. You want people to say, oh, this person's so wonderful. This person's so great. But as I get older, I realize that's not what's really important in life. What's really important in life is how much you have that servant's type of attitude to serve others, to love others like Jesus loved, so that they can draw closer to God. They are encouraged. They are challenged to be more like God, more like Jesus Christ in all the things they say and do. And that brings greater glory to a man than trying to see glory for himself. And so this is how I came up with the lesson. I was thinking about this, and I said, what is really important in life? And that is what's important in life, is how, as an individual or as a church, do we glorify God? The topic, have you forgotten your first love? How many of you remember the first boyfriend or girlfriend you had? And you were holding hands or just you received your first kiss and how special that felt? And you felt like you were flying high. Or for those of you who've been married, when you were standing, for the man who's standing at the altar waiting for his bride to be coming down the aisle, seeing her, it's a very humbling experience. For me, I remember when Karen and I were getting married, and I was standing at the altar, and I saw her coming down, and she was dressed in a white outfit, almost looked like Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind. She had a hat, sort of at a tilt. I think it had a little bit of a veil. And for that moment in time, I was humbled because I saw that this woman was entrusting her life to me. I was also honored because I realized I was marrying my best friend and my soulmate. And for those of you who aren't married or haven't gone through that, it's a very unique experience. How many of you remember the birth of your children? For those of you who've been married, the wife goes through all this pain, but when the delivery occurs, there's so much joy. When Karen and I had our first child, Jennifer, I can remember I was in the OR and she had to have a C-section, and I was privileged to come in because I was in the medical field and I worked in that area, and I had as I was watching the procedure, on one side my wife was gassed up with a lot of anesthesia. She was laughing hysterically, and I looked over the other side of the fence. Here, the physicians were moving her intestines around to try to get Jennifer out. And I kept looking at her and looking on the other side, and I said, "There's two different pictures here." When I got to cut the umbilical cords of both my kids, that's a very humbling experience, and you realize how grateful you've been and how blessed you've been from God. How many of you remember your decision to become a Christian? If you think about it, I mean, each one has a unique experience. For me, I had been studying with a friend who made me realize I was not right with God until I became baptized into Christ. And that day I decided, I'm going to get baptized into Christ. I don't care what it's going to take. I'm going to do it because I want to be right with God. And that day, my friend was going to pick me up, take me to church, and somehow we missed connections. So the church was about 4 miles away, and I said, there's nothing going to stop me. I need to become baptized and become right with God, because that's what the Bible says, and that's what I want to do, to be right with God. So I walked, and it was a rainy day. It was pouring hard, probably like days we're going to have now or we've had earlier. I hadn't shaved in about 4 or 5 days, so college student, so I had this gaunt look. I had this look like I just got out of jail. People were driving by, didn't want to have to do anything with me. I just kept taking a ride. When I was about half mile from the church, finally a church member recognized me, picked me up, and brought me to church. That evening, I became baptized. And then I was as high as a kite. For 3 days, I was like, oh, this is great. I'm right with God. And then after the third day, I became depressed. And I thought, well, what did I do wrong? Am I away from God? Have I separated myself? And fortunately, I had an older brother from the church who came to me and said, David, don't base your faith on feelings. Base it on the truth. Because feelings, you're going to have good days and bad days. You're going to feel great one day. The next day, you're going to feel sad and sorry. But if you're basing your life on the truth that Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead, that there was eyewitness accounts, there was historical documentation, and the fulfillment of that Jesus had fulfilled in the Old Testament, base your faith on that, because that's never going to change. And as I've gotten older, I always remember him because of the things that he shared with me. And I still appreciate his insight since that time. I mean, he is the kind of individual who would practice his faith. And he'd walk his talk and talk his walk. And that, to me, said a lot. It says a lot when you have somebody living a life like that and sharing it with others. And it has a tremendous impact. But, you know, all of us are in situations where we tend to forget sometimes what's important in life. Maybe we get caught up with ourselves. Maybe we get too caught up with the job. Maybe we get caught up with the bills we have to pay, caught up with the fears we have to deal with, all these obstacles that we lose sight, and we start justifying why it's not necessary, why we can't really have that kind of relationship we'd like to have. I mean, those of you who are married know that if you spend a few days not talking to your wife, you're creating a lot of problems there. You need to be communicating with your wife or your spouse on a daily basis. But guys who have a boyfriend, girlfriend, same thing. You can't just be, well, I'll talk to you two weeks from now. You know, that doesn't work. I mean, it's one thing if you're like overseas or something like that, but, you know, the same with the children. You have to communicate and have to be, it takes time, it takes commitment, it takes a desire. And it's a willful act. The same thing with our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Just because we became Christians, we have to always remember what it was that made us want to become Christians in the first place. Why is it that we sort of fell out of love. Is it because we were too involved in ourselves? What is, you know, or we're using excuses not to deal with our relationship? And like, I mean, you can imagine Jesus when he was with his disciples. They were the misfits, the outcasts of society. There must have been times for the 3.5 years he was with them saying, guys, you just don't understand what I'm here for. You don't understand what I'm trying to share with you, because they just seemed like they just couldn't get it. And sometimes you wonder, why didn't he just turn around and walk away and say, that's it, I've had it. In any relationship, it takes a lot of patience. Jesus showed that. Because like I said, true love is a willful act of laying one's life down for the other. Like it said in John 15:13, you don't have to show it, and I'm not trying to throw you off on that. Greater love hath no man than to lay his life down for another, or for his friend. I raised the question for all of you today, and myself, especially myself, why did I become a Christian? Why did you become a Christian? Did you become a Christian because maybe your parents felt that it was important for you to go to church and learn about the importance of having good moral values, or to go to church to learn about the greatness of God? Did you become a Christian because Christianity is as good as any other man-made religion or philosophy, like Judaism, Buddhism, Islamism, or any other isms that promise man how to be at peace with himself and the world around him? Or did you become a Christian because you came to the realization there's no one else in this world to go to follow, adhere to, than have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If we really believe that following and believing in Jesus Christ is the only way a person can have a true relationship with God, are we practicing it in our lives? We're all going to fail. We're all going to fall short in some form or fashion, but are we seeking the desire to be right with God and ask for forgiveness and say, forgive me, help me to do better next time? Or are we just sort of putting on a show and saying, well, this is what's expected of me. This is how I'm going to act on Sunday morning. This is how I'm going to act on Sunday evening, whatever, so that people will think good of me. And even though all other religions and philosophies offer principles on how to live a good life, a good moral life, and teach us how to endure difficult times, only one in the entire world teaches that in order to be truly right with God, the individual must be willing to lay down their life and follow Jesus. No other religion or man-made belief can make the claim that Jesus made and fulfilled while here on earth. So, you have to ask yourself the question, was Jesus a liar? Was he a man that had gone mad? Or was he actually telling the truth, that he is the Son of God and came to earth to become the sacrificial lamb to allow me the opportunity to be able to have a relationship with our Creator through his death, burial, and resurrection? So what is our real reason we became a Christian? All of you are familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan, right? It's how this man was beaten up by assailants, and this Good Samaritan came and took care of him, made sure that his needs were being met. I thought about this, and I said, what if really Jesus was the Good Samaritan, and we were the ones who had been jumped? And that this story is a parable of how Jesus rescued us out of those difficult, frustrating, lonely, discouraging times that we went through, where we realized nothing else could save us, could help us, could heal us, and make us whole again. What if Jesus was the Good Samaritan in this story? Before all of us met Jesus, before we encounter any difficult situation, we were minding our own business, said, this is what I'm going to do in life, this is who I'm going to be, this is how I'm going to leave my footprints in the sands of time. And something happens, whether the faith that we believed in let us down, whether the people let us down, whether situations, you know, lose a job, lose a child, whatever, that brought us to the point where we felt so discouraged and so beaten up that we had nowhere to go to, and we needed to be healed within. And Jesus came into our lives and made it so that our souls, our spirits, were made well. I raised this other question: did we become a Christian because I was a little bit ahead of myself, but I raised the question: if life has been difficult for us, maybe that was done for a reason so that we could draw closer to God. Years ago, I worked in a trauma unit where a man was brought in with a gunshot wound to his abdomen and his neck. And I may have shared this before, and I apologize. And his neck had been slashed. And talking on first impression, it appeared that assailants jumped him, appeared that or a gang had attacked him. His wife told us he was so frustrated that he lost his job, that she put a shotgun in his mouth, in his abdomen, pulled the trigger, and that wasn't good enough, so he got a knife and slashed his throat. I worked in an organization called Childline, and there you take in the reports of people who are children who are abused or suspected child abusers. And I had one time a story that really bothered me a great deal. A father had beat his 8-year-old daughter to near death because she ate the last piece of candy in the house. And I ask yourself, these two examples, what are the values of these two people? Was it a value of love or a value of self-love? And this is a question that we have to ask ourselves all the time when we serve one another, when we're trying to live a Christ-like life. Are we really seeking our own glory, our own honor, our own well-being, so to speak? Or are we really seeking how we can be the kind of stewards to glorify Christ through what we've been entrusted with? Is what we value in life more important than our relationship with God through Jesus Christ? What is really important to us? If we call ourselves Christians, have we forgotten our first love? I don't know any of you, but I know if you take the example of the Good Samaritan, and say you were to view Jesus as the Good Samaritan, and we're the ones who are beaten up and taken care of. When someone does something like that, you don't just say, thank you very much, go away. You feel very grateful. You feel humbled. You feel honored. You always remember what that person did for you because they went out of their way because they did it, not because they had to do it, because they wanted to do it. They cared enough for you that they wanted you to become well. When someone does like that, something like that for me, I'm always feel grateful. I hope all of you feel the same way. So we need to think. One of the things we need to kind of always remember is, or ask ourselves, are we thanking God for having died on the cross for all of our sins and that have prevented us from having a deep and that's prevented us from having a deep and personal relationship with our Creator of all heaven and earth? Or are we taking Him for granted? Have we become so consumed with our own affairs that we have forgotten to return our love to the one who created us in the first place? Are we really trying to lay our lives down for Jesus' sake? Or are we just providing lip service? Now I can say, okay, on one of the scripture verses that we've all heard is in Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And Andrew, thank you for making the print larger for me this time around, because as I'm getting older, I need to get a larger print. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said to love God first and man as yourself second? I've thought about this. Why did he not say, love yourself first, your neighbor second, and God last? After all, each of us have various responsibilities in life. We all have families to take care of, jobs to go to, things to accomplish, or do in life before we die. So when we die, won't we have more time to spend with God? Yes, it's obvious that we're in a position to help others, and as we would want to be helped, it's understandable that we have a moral obligation to do so, to help our fellow man. After all, are we not in the same boat, so to speak? Because we're all human beings, and we should all strive to take care of one another, because it is obvious we need to help our fellow man. We can see them, because someday we too could suffer similar fates as those less fortunate than ourselves. God we cannot see, but just because we cannot see him does not mean he is not watching or ever present. In John 3:16, it says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So even though we have many responsibilities here on earth and many things to do and enjoy while we are alive, have we forgotten why we became Christians and why we go to church? Have we forgotten our first love? And if we have forgotten our first love, are we willing to seek forgiveness and return to our first love? And like any relationship that takes time, commitment, desire to serve and please the other, are we willing to pursue and renew our first love? The choice is ours to make, and just like any relationship, the choice is ours to make on a daily basis. And that's all I have for my lesson. I hope all of you got something out of it today. And if there's a need for anyone to come forward, please do so as Roger leads us in this song. Thank you.